So in John chapter 12, we're just coming off of this incredible, incredible story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We've spent 2 weeks talking about Jesus and his interaction with Martha and Mary and how he has raised Lazarus from the dead, how he's made this incredible statement, I am the resurrection and the life. He is claiming divinity, but then he's also saying, life itself, I'm the author of that. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He is God over life. Just as we sung today, our only hope in life and death is our good and awesome Jesus Christ. So here in chapter 12, we're coming right off of that. It would have been fresh in everybody's minds. Lazarus, he would have probably bathed by now, so he doesn't smell anymore. But this fact that Lazarus is there, think about Thanksgiving time. Think about Christmas time. Think about the difficulty it is for often many of us when we're looking at the table and there's someone missing. It makes an impact. But here, Lazarus, he's not missing. He's there at the table with them. And that's the first thing that we want to look at in chapter 12, starting in verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. What a good reminder. It's not just that Lazarus is there, not just that Lazarus happens to be at the celebration of the Passover together with them. No, Lazarus was dead. And now, because of Jesus, he's alive. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them, reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There's a couple of things that are happening here. There are multiple characters that are there at the table with Jesus. It would have been a filled room, but we specifically get to peer into Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, and their roles and their responses to Jesus. All three of them are having an incredible response to Jesus and the work that he's just done, this miracle that he's just done, the presence, the fact that he's there at the table with them. Martha is serving. That's consistent with her character. It's consistent with her giftedness. Every time we hear about Martha in the gospel, she's serving, she's doing something. She's a doer, right? Wonderful follower of Jesus Christ, Martha is. She's using her gifts and talents and she is serving. And the way that the Greek is formed, it's not as though she just puts the food on the table and then goes and sits down. It's almost as though she is there serving the entire meal. She doesn't sit down. And many moms can relate to that, right? Martha is serving. Mary, she's also serving. Mary's not just simply doing something that she wants to. She's serving the Lord. She is anointing his feet. A humble job, reminiscent of Jesus when he washes his own disciples' feet later on. She anoints Jesus' feet, and the perfume that she used is so fragrant, so beautiful smelling, it fills the entire house. She gets down on her feet and she anoints the Lord's feet. And she's really, in so many ways, whether she realizes it or not, she's preparing for Jesus' own death and resurrection. There's another character that is there at the table, and this is Judas. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot was one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him. He said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He sees this thing that is happening. He's aware that Mary is serving. He sees Mary, he's aware that Martha is serving. He sees Mary get down on her knees and anoint the Lord's feet, do this incredible, humble, serving act. And she uses the best. Not only is it beautiful smelling, not only is it so fragrant that it fills the whole house, it's not diluted with water or anything, but it's also very clearly expensive. She gives the best of what she has to the Lord. And Judas, not because he cares about the poor. We already know that. It's not that he cares about the poor. In fact, verse 6 tells us he says this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And his thought process is if we could take that beautiful thing that was designed for the Lord, this thing that was set apart for the Lord, if we could take that and we could sell it, then the money would go in the money bag and I could get something out of it. Judas the thief is thinking about himself. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they're thinking about Jesus. Judas is thinking about himself. And so he says something. Jesus, he swats them down. He says, listen, I'm here. She's doing a really good thing. And in so many ways, she's preparing for my death, even if she doesn't know it, even if she doesn't fully understand it. So Judas, be quiet. It's neat whenever Jesus does that, right? But there's another position that we haven't talked about. I've mentioned Lazarus's name, but we haven't talked about what he's doing. He's reclining at the table. And when we say recline, I don't want you to think about a lazy boy, right? That's not exactly what's happening. The table would have been close to the ground. There would have been cushions. And so instead of using chairs, they would have sat down, reclined on the cushions, and eaten. So that's the picture I want you to get in your minds right now. But what about Lazarus? What is it that he's doing? It seems as though he's just at the table eating, right? A lot of us can relate to that, I think. Lazarus is just sitting at the table, reclining at the table, eating. But why? Why is this so important? Why is it, as I read this, I just cannot get unstuck from these words, Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Yes, it's because Lazarus was dead. Now he's alive. He can be there at the table. But there's something that Lazarus is doing that I think many of us need to do, many of us should do, many of us forget to do, especially during this time of the year. Lazarus is resting in the presence of Jesus. Think about it for a minute. Lazarus has gone from death to life. And what's the first act that we see Lazarus do after he's alive? He reclines at the table. He's there in the presence of his Savior, the presence of his God. And what does he do? He rests. Brother, sister in Christ, you need rest. We need rest. But let's find out for a few minutes. Let's spend some time figuring out what it is that we can and should rest in. Because there's a difference between finding rest in our Savior and just being lazy. Mary and Martha, they're doing things, and so it's not as though they are not resting. I would say they are also resting in the presence of their Lord. But sometimes it's not about what you do. Sometimes it's not about how much effort you can expend. Sometimes it's about trusting in your God, what He has accomplished, and finding your perfect rest in Him. As I think about rest, I think about Psalm 23. You know it? Psalm 23, it's this beautiful psalm, and it's very popular. It gets used a lot, but it's popular and it used a lot for good reasons. Because in it, we find what perfect rest in our God looks like. I'll put it on the screen, and this is what I would like us to do. If you don't mind, can we stand and read this together? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. Why did we do that? What's the significance of that? Together as a church, proclaiming that the Lord is our shepherd. That we should not, shall not, will not want. Anybody have Christmas lists? You do. You click a couple of things and you put it on Amazon and somebody says, what do you want for Christmas? And you say, oh, check my Amazon list, right? I'm guilty of it too. My in-laws and parents said, well, there's a lot of books on there, not much else, right? We are used to wanting, aren't we? It's a natural thing, and it's a desire that is just kind of default to us, right? We want things, but also there's this deep desire in us for movement, for stuff, for doing. And so that's why I think that this psalm, in relation to what Lazarus is doing, sitting at the table with Jesus, just resting in him, this is so countercultural in so many different ways. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that I get everything from. I am publicly admitting that I am a sheep, I am his sheep, and that I cannot do anything on my own apart from him. I am publicly admitting that as my shepherd, he knows what's best for me. As my shepherd, I follow him, and he takes care of me. He takes care of me so much so that there's nothing in this world that I need apart from him. I know that he is good to me. I know that he takes care of me. I know that I'm not wanting for anything. I'm perfectly content in his hands. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you feel the restfulness in this psalm? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even that verse right there, that sentence, he leads me beside still waters. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. Sheep don't like the running of waters. They like still calm waters. And so even here, the Lord says, I'm going to lead you to what you need and what you want. He restores my soul. Anybody need their soul restored right now? As you're looking forward to the next couple weeks and months, do you just need that restoration deep down inside of you? That picture of Lazarus reclining at the table with Jesus, oh, that sounds so wonderful, doesn't it? As a parent, there is often times where Ashley and I will look at each other and say, you want to go to the gym? Because our gym, they have free childcare. And they also have a hot tub. So many times, Ashley and I, we say, hey, you want to go to the gym? And that doesn't mean working out. It means date night in the hot tub with the kid getting taken care of. And you know how much that restores and refreshes our soul? Just to be there together with one another in each other's presence, resting. That's the kind of picture that we need to have with our Lord. Are you finding those times where you're finding rest with your Savior? Are you making sure that in the hustle and bustle and the busyness of not just the season, but life, right? Because after December, life will continue to be busy. You know that, right? Are you finding those times where you can find rest, where you can recline at the table with your Lord and just find perfect peace and perfect rest with him? And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, what exactly does that mean? And why can't I find my perfect peace and rest in Jesus? There's still things in this life that are overwhelming. There's still bills that are due. There's still relationships that go south. There's still problems with the house. There's still all these things. Why is it that in the midst of the busyness and the craziness and the hecticness that I can put all that down, I can literally take my burdens and lay them down and just focus on reclining at the table with my Lord? Well, Scripture, as always, gives us the answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can turn there if you want. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is making this incredible argument. He's talking, it's one of those passages that almost every Easter my mind goes to. Because he's talking about the resurrection, and so it's fitting as we're coming off of Jesus saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. We're coming off of this incredible event where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, he resurrects him, that we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul, as he's talking about Jesus and the importance of the resurrection, and the fact that literally our entire faith hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul clearly and plainly says if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. And we're still lost in our sins and trespasses. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Aren't you glad that he raised from the dead? Aren't you glad that the resurrection is real? Aren't you glad that Jesus, when he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, aren't you glad that that wasn't just lip service? It wasn't just poetic terms. That is real. That is true. Jesus and Jesus alone brings himself back from the dead. And therefore we can have life. So in verse 49 it says this, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. What does that mean? Well, we recognize that in Adam all have sinned. There's this original sin problem that we all have, and each and every one of us will always be restless apart from our good and awesome God. Augustine, he said that. He says that all souls are restless until they find their perfect rest in him. And so because of sin, we can't sit down at the table. Because of sin, we are apart from the table. We are apart from the presence of our awesome God because of sin. But in Christ, we are forgiven of that sin. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have life. In Christ, he is literally taking on the weight, the penalty, the wages of our sin upon himself on the cross. And he did that for you and for me so that we can join the table. So that we can be a part of the family. So that we can have rest. So Paul, as he says, we've borne the image of the man of dust, of Adam. We will pass away. Just as much as that, because of Jesus and his resurrection, we also bear the image of the man of heaven. That's Jesus. Verse 50, I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this imperishable body must put on, this perishable body must put on imperishable, with this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read these verses, we recognize that Jesus is victorious. He has victory over sin and death. And that, my friends, is why we can rest in him. Because he is victorious, because he has conquered sin, because he has conquered death, he has solved our greatest need, our biggest problem, the things that will always tear us down, the things that will always cause us to be restless, he has solved that in Jesus Christ, and therefore we can have rest. Because he has brought us from death to life, we can rest in him. Because he has done the work of giving us salvation, the ability to be with God, the ability to have a relationship with him. Because of that victory, we can rest. Because he said, and just the other week when we had communion, Josh talked about this, It is finished. He did the work. He went to the tomb. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and he's sitting down. The work is done. We can rest in him. So what does resting in him look like? It means every single day of our lives, we die to ourselves, we surrender to him, and we say, Lord, I want to live not the way I want to live. I want to live the way you want me to live. God, because it is true that I can say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because that is true, because Jesus has the victory, I can live victorious. I don't have to worry about the things that weigh on my mind. I can just give them to you. I can watch you have the victory in my life. I can be dead to sin and alive to Christ because everything you've done. Let's find rest in Jesus. Let's find rest in what he's done. We can have rest in his victory. Isn't that neat? I don't know about you, but that motivates me. That makes me want to live for him. That makes me want to do everything I can to say no to my fleshly, earthly desires and yes to obedience to him. Because he is my good shepherd. Because he is the resurrection and the life. Because he has the victory. I can sit down at the table with him and rest. It's what I need. I think it's what you need too. Rest is not laziness, by the way. I would say Martha and Mary, they were resting in Jesus' presence as well, serving him. This next week is going to be busy. The next couple of weeks will be busier still. Find your rest in him. Let him refresh your soul. Make sure that you are spending time in the Word. Make sure that you're spending time in prayer. The day is too short to go without spending time with your God. Spending time finding your perfect peace, your perfect rest in him. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that in Jesus, we have victory. We thank you, Father, that in him, we can find perfect peace and perfect rest. Lord, I pray that these next few days and weeks and months, and really for the rest of our lives, Lord, that we can recognize that we have peace with you, and therefore we can have peace in our lives. Come what may, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what bumps into us, we can find our rest in you. We thank you for this truth, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last thing I'll say is it is very fitting that our dear sisters Lynn and Lynn came and shared the message that they did about their trip to Rwanda. Because I think about believers in that torn up country with that hard history. And you know what I know? That believers there, despite all that's happened to them, despite all that has come and gone, those believers, they have rest because they recognize where the ultimate victory is in Jesus. The things that we face in this life, they are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. And they are nothing compared to the victory we have in his great name. Find your rest in him. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.